Chapter 4. The Need for Romance.
There was a dietitian who was addressing a large audience in Chicago, and began her presentation with this: "The material we put into our stomachs is enough to have killed most of us sitting here, years ago. Red meat is awful. Soft drinks erode our stomach lining. Chinese food is loaded with MSG, vegetables can be disastrous, and none of us realizes the long-term harm caused by the germs in our drinking water. But there is one thing that is the most dangerous of all, and we all have, or will, eat it. Can anyone here tell me what food it is that causes the most grief and suffering for years after eating it?" Just then a 75-year-old man in the front row stood up and said, "Wedding cake."
Now how many of you guys would say that man probably didn't have a very high opinion of marriage? But you know what? He's not the only one. One person said, "Sure, I understand, marriage is an institution. But who wants to live in an institution?" Or another person stated, "Yes, marriage means a commitment, but so does insanity." But seriously, is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden? Folks, I'm here to tell you that the answer is absolutely not. Yes, Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden, and along with this, they also blew the chance of having a perfect marriage. But the good news is that even though you and I may never have a perfect marriage, that doesn't mean that we've got to resign ourselves to a life of personal pain and silent suffering. It just means that it's going to take some time and lots of work. Why? Because folks, marriages aren't made in heaven, they're made right here on earth. Therefore, we're going to continue looking at the steps for having a marriage built to last. We already saw the first step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge that marriage is under attack. The second step was to acknowledge that men and women are different. And in the last chapter we saw that the third step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge that love is an action. There we saw that true love is not a feeling but a self-sacrificial action that requires no stipulations and a solid commitment. But people, that's not the only thing we need to be aware of. The fourth step in building a lasting marriage is to acknowledge the need for romance.
Song of Solomon 5:10-16. My lover is radiant and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. His head is purest gold, his hair is wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the water streams, washed in milk, mounted like jewels. His cheeks are like beds of spice yielding perfume. His lips are like lilies dripping with myrrh. His arms are rods of gold set with chrysolite. His body is like polished ivory decorated with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of pure gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as its cedars. His mouth is sweetness itself, he is altogether lovely. This is my lover, this my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
Now how many of you guys would say that woman was romantically in love? In fact, if you've ever read the Song of Solomon, you'll see it's a book about a couple whose relationship is filled with tons of romance and tons of passion. And even though we've already seen that true love is not a feeling but an action and that it's love in action that holds a marriage together, that does not mean that we have no need for romance in our marriages. And for some reason, when we get married, especially with us men, that abundant supply of romance that we naturally had before we got married, somehow disappears. And because of this, over the years, our marriages can sometimes turn into a passionless existence. For instance, here's the first 7 years of romance during a typical marriage. Ladies, you tell me how accurate this is.
First year. The husband says, "Oh, sweetie pie, I'm really worried about those nasty sniffles you have. There's no telling what that could turn into with all the strep that's been going around. I'm going to take you right down to the hospital and have you admitted for a couple days of rest. I know the food is lousy there, so I'm going to bring you some takeout from Louis Cairo's. I've already arranged it with the head nurse." Second year. "Listen, honey, I don't like the sound of that cough. I called the doc and he's going to stop by here and take a look at you. Why don't you just go on to bed and get the rest you need?" Third year. "Maybe you better go lie down, darling. When you feel lousy, you need the rest. I'll bring you something. Do we have any canned soup around here?" Fourth year, "No sense wearing yourself out when you're under the weather. And when you finish those dishes and bathe the kids and get them to bed, you ought to go to bed yourself. Fifth year, hey, why don't you take a couple aspirin, will you? Sixth year, for Pete's sake, will you stop sneezing on me? Are you trying to give me pneumonia or something? You'd better pick up some Kleenex while you're at the store. Seventh year, for crying out loud. Can't a guy get any sleep around here? Why don't you go gargle or something, instead of sitting around barking like a seal all night long?
Now that joke would be funny if it weren't so true. And the reason why it's such a common scenario in many marriages is because we forget about the need for romance. You see, if we're going to have a marriage built to last, then we need to romance each other before and after we get married. And the way that we do that is by filling each other's love tank. Love tank? What in the world is a love tank? Great question, I'm glad you asked. A love tank is each person's romance receptacle. And when the romance receptacle is full, guess what? So is the passion. But if it's empty, then guess what? So is the passion. But the good news is that even if your love tank is empty, crusty, or even rusty, it can be filled again in no time. So just what are some practical ways we can fill each other's love tank, so we can rekindle passion in our marriages? ? 3 Great question. I'm glad you asked. The first practical way to fill each other's love tank is by giving special gifts. You see, giving special gifts is a wonderful way of expressing our love and appreciation. And it's this method that seems to be the most popular and obvious way to romance our spouse. And ladies, this one's pretty easy for you to do because we men are fairly easy to buy gifts for. For instance, I've learned that what many women want is to be loved, to be listened to be desired, to be respected, to be needed, to be trusted, and sometimes just to be held. Right, ladies? But men? Hey, we just want tickets to the King's game. It's pretty simple. And so if your marriage has been a little low on the passion lately, then ask yourself, when was the last time that you bought your spouse a card for no reason? Or when was the last time you surprised them with a bouquet of flowers, or even a little love note hidden under the pillow? In fact, one guy really got into this romance thing and surprised his wife by hiding a teddy bear in the back of the freezer so she'd find it one day while looking for something to cook. And I have to admit, that's a pretty neat idea. But take it from me, make sure she doesn't find the rock-hard frozen teddy bear when she's mad at you. She's liable to knock you out with it. But seriously, giving each other special gifts is a practical way to show our love and affection for one another. And believe it or not, it really does go a long way in filling the old love tank. The second practical way to fill each other's love tank is by giving quality time. Now here's where romance gets a little tricky. You see, most of us know that giving gifts are a great way to be romantic. But believe it or not, for some spouses, special gifts don't do the trick. Sometimes it's sharing time together. However, just because you spend some time together, doesn't mean it's always going to be a success. In fact, you have to be careful not to ruin it like this guy did.
A husband and wife had not spent some quality time together for many months, and on one Saturday, as the wife was finishing the dinner dishes, the husband came into the kitchen and asked, "Would you like to go out, girl?" Not even turning around, the wife quickly replied, "Oh, yes, I'd love to." And in no time, they were off having a wonderful evening together. But at the end of the evening, the husband finally confessed that his question had actually been directed to the family dog, lying on the kitchen floor.
Now, how many of you guys think that man should have just kept his mouth shut? Hey, he was filling his wife's love tank all right. But he ruined it by giving the impression that he really didn't want to be there. And if spending time together is going to fill your spouse's love tank, then you have to want to do it. It has to be quality time. And folks, our spouse is going to know if it's genuine. Therefore, if your marriage has been a little low on the passion lately, then ask yourself, when was the last time that you went out alone to a nice restaurant, or came home at a decent hour and actually talked to your spouse, or spent an afternoon doing something your spouse likes to do? You see, giving each other quality time is a practical way to show our love and affection for one another. And believe it or not, it really does go a long way in filling the old love tank. The third practical way to fill each other's love tank is by giving positive words. Now, when we were busy courting each other, we all probably called each other by those romantic pet names like Honey Pie, Snookums, or Love Muffin, right? But pet names are not the only positive words to fill your spouse's love tank. It might simply be an affectionate affirmation. For instance, men, it might be saying something like, "Gee honey, you look nice in that outfit," or "Wow, I like what you did with your hair." And guys, whatever you do, trust me, don't mix it with sarcasm. For instance, if your wife comes into the living room and she's wearing one of those face masks with cucumbers on her eyeballs and has a head full of curlers, it's not a good time to be sarcastic. Because she's going to see you looking at her kind of weird and she'll get defensive and say, I just set my hair, and you'll be tempted to say, oh, yeah, what? Time does it go off? And whatever you do, don't get sarcastic when your wife announces she's going to the beauty parlor and say, hey, are you going in for an estimate or are you getting the work done this time? Trust me, sarcasm is not a good way to fill the love tank. And even though you're trying to be funny with sarcasm, it has a way of ruining a positive word. And ladies, believe it or not, sometimes we men like to hear, hey, you're looking mighty handsome today. And I don't know any guy who doesn't like to hear from his wife, hey, you the man. And so if your marriage has been a little low on the passion lately, then ask yourself, when was the last time you gave your spouse an affectionate affirmation? You see, giving each other positive words is a practical way to show our love and affection for one another. And believe it or not, it really does go a long way in filling the old love tank. The fourth practical way to fill each other's love tank is by giving acts of service. Now, how many of you guys have heard the saying, if you really love me, then don't just say it, but show it? And people, this is why acts of service is such a powerful way to fill our spouse's love tank. Now men, I'm sorry to do this to you, but did you know that there's biblical justification for men to do the dishes once in a while? I'm sorry, but I have to be honest with the scripture. You see, there was a pastor whose wife asked him to please help with washing the dishes. But the pastor protested, saying, this isn't a man's job. And his wife quickly replied, oh yes, it is, and she quoted 2 Kings 21:13, I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it, and turning it upside down. Ladies, you can thank me later. And just for the record, that was not my wife who quoted that verse. It must have been one of those weird couples down south. But seriously, if your marriage has been a little low on the passion lately, then ask yourself, men, when was the last time you helped your wife do the dishes without having to be asked? Or when was the last time you took out the trash before it got to be 12 feet tall? And ladies, when was the last time you brought your husband a cup of coffee without being asked? Or when was the last time you spontaneously cooked him his favorite meal? You see, giving each other acts of service is a practical way to show love and affection for one another. And believe it or not, it really does go a long way in filling the old love tank. The fifth practical way to fill each other's love tank is by giving physical touch. Now men, this is a rough one for us to catch on to because we're so full of testosterone that we think one little touch means something else. And when it comes to physical touch, the general rule seems to be that men are like microwave ovens and women are more like crock pots. 6. Hey, it's true. And because we men usually don't understand this physical difference, instead of taking the time to romance our wives, we'll often resort to trickery, like this guy did.
A man wakes up his wife during the night with a glass of water in one hand and two aspirins in the other. So she asks, what's this for? And he says, this is for your headache. She replies, but I don't have a headache. And he smiles and says, gotcha.
Now men, you can pay me later for sharing that technique with you. But seriously, believe it or not, the need for physical touch doesn't always mean it's going to lead to something else. Believe it or not, when our spouse shares the desire to hold hands, receive a hug, or even snuggle up together on the couch, that doesn't mean they're interested in something else. And so if your marriage has been a little low on the passion lately, then ask yourself, when was the last time you spent some time lying around just holding each other without expecting something else in return? You see, giving each other physical touch is a practical way to show love and affection for one another. And believe it or not, it really does go a long way in filling the old love tank. But you might be thinking, Pastor Billy, I don't know which one of these five methods fills my spouse's love tank. And believe it or not, that's a great question. Why? Because unless you discover which one or ones fill your spouse's love tank, you'll end up wasting your time and energy. Therefore, I'm going to help you out. If you don't know which of the five methods fills your spouse's love tank, then here's what you do. Are you ready? Just ask them. It's really that simple. People of God, even if your love tank is dry, crusty, or even rusty, believe it or not, acts of romance can quickly arouse feelings of passion once again.
Song of Solomon 5:4. My beloved extended his hand through the opening, and my feelings were aroused for him. Song of Solomon 4:1-9. How beautiful you are, my beloved, how beautiful! You have ravished my heart, my treasure, my bride. I am overcome by one glance of your eyes, by a single bead of your necklace.
Now, how many of you would say that couple was experiencing just a little bit of passion in their marriage? And believe it or not, folks, no matter how long we've been married, the same thing can happen to us. But our problem is that when it comes to sustaining passion in our marriages, we usually have it totally backwards. We think we need to wait until we feel romantic before we'll romance. But people, that's totally backwards. If you're waiting to feel romantic before you romance, then guess what? You'll never get around to it. Why? Because passionate feelings follow acts of romance, not the other way around. And if we can catch on to that, then no matter how passionless our marriages might be, they can be turned around in no time, like this guy learned.
A careless young fellow once came to see a pastor and announced his intentions of getting a divorce by saying, "It's no use, Pastor. I loved her. All right, 2 years ago when I married her, but it seems to have dried up. I just can't go on living a lie, so I'll have to get a divorce." So the pastor replied, "But don't you think you owe her something?" And the young man said, "Well, yes, I guess I do. What can I do about it?" The pastor said, "Let me make a suggestion. Since you feel you do owe her something, don't think about a divorce for a month. Instead, during that time, do something nice for your wife every day. Buy her a bouquet, a box of chocolates, or a new dress. Take her out to places she likes. Do the dishes for her, and things like that." And the young man replied, "But Pastor, she'll think I'm crazy." And the pastor said, "Maybe, but try it, okay?" So the young man agreed to try it and left. However, a month later the young man returned. Only this time he was a little bit sheepish and rubbing his collar in embarrassment. And all he could say was, "I don't know how to say this, Pastor. But I've fallen in love with my wife all over again."
People of God, if you don't remember anything else from this sermon, at least remember this. If a man has enough horse sense to treat his wife like a thoroughbred, she'll never turn into an old nag. 9. Pretty profound, isn't it? Folks, don't wait around until you feel romantic before you romance. It doesn't work that way. Passionate feelings follow acts of romance, not the other way around. People of God, being married doesn't mean your life is always going to be filled with personal pain and silent suffering. God never said that it'd be easy. He just said that it's going to take some time and lots of work. And if we'll just acknowledge the need for romance and get busy filling each other's love tanks, then we're well on our way to having a passionate marriage built to last.